Chapter 24. The Brotherhood of the Storm smashed their way into the suzerain, riding hard in the wake of torpedo strikes that had punctured the enemy's void shields and left the way clear to break the hull. The tubes crunched in deep, launched true, driving far into the ship's carcass. 300 warriors burst clear of the capsules, shoving aside burning launch hatches, reaching for weapons, and racing to rendezvous with their battle brothers. Jochi led one flank, fighting his way up from the lower foredecks. Yiman led another, taking a party deep into the underhull. Shiban led the central charge, gathering his warriors about him and forcing a passage along the main grav train artery towards the bridge. They went like white ghosts, cutting through the crew in a whirl of blades and bolt shells, picking up momentum as they raced. The mutants and the Fleshweaver Twisted swarmed into them, blocking the narrow ways with their brutalized bodies, but they were hacked down before they had even got their battle cries out of their scarified throats. Shiban pushed himself hardest. The enemy rose up, and he cast them down, never pausing, never hesitating. His Guandao flew about him, blurred with disruptor lightning, a satellite that whirled and danced. Every movement gave him pain, but it was a pure pain now. For the first time in a long time, he was on the offensive. There would be no feints or false moves. This was the end, the clash of those who had remained faithful with those who had sunk into perversion. He was fast then, as fast as he had ever been. He drove his metal armor shell beyond its limits, powering into combat as if this were the last day and no more battles remained to be fought. The first Emperor's Children Space Marines loomed out of the hazy murk, lumbering into contact, firing as they came. Shiban swiveled, still running, letting the shells sweep past him, before slamming bodily into the first of his enemy.
Kargan!
Shiban roared, smacking the hilt of his glaive into the warrior's chest and sending him staggering. He followed up, slashing left, then right, carving the legionary open. The glaive rotated, arcing point down, and Shiban grabbed it two-handed.
Faithless!
He hissed, punching it down, jabbing the disruptor-charged blade through the armor and straight into the deck beneath. His enemies spasmed, blood gushing up the length of the stave, then went still. Then Shiban was on the move again, heading up the charge of his brothers, carving a path through the ranks of resistance. They swept into a wide hall, decked in gilt embossing and lapis lazuli. Bolt of fire rained down on them, blowing the marble decks into spiraling flecks. The white scars leapt and swung, responding preternaturally fast, returning fire and sprinting to where their blades could meet those of the enemies. Shiban charged towards two more of them, each bearing Charnabal's saber. They moved just as he did, graceful, driven by exacting velocity. They were disciplined, fighting in tight order, but he was as wild as the storm. The Guandao swung fiercely, just on the edge of flying from his grasp before he reeled it back in. Its energy-seared edge cracked through ceramite, knocking a saber away from its owner's grip. The second Palatine blade thrust back, taking advantage of the opening, only to be blocked by a new blade, a tulwar rammed between the artisan steel and Shiban's trailing arm. Jochi, emerging from clouds of blown marble dust, spat a hard laugh.
They are too good for that, he voxed. One at a time, my Khan.
Shiban laughed back, a deep laugh, the sound not marked by scorn.
Together, then.
He and Jochi fought side by side after that, step by step, smashing the Palatine blades back in stages. The enemy fought well, ridiculously well, matching their every stroke with a frenzied set of counters and parries. But Shiban had the fire again, burning in spite of the deadening of his false muscles and steel sinews.
Hai Chogoris!
He roared, smacking the glaive in a wide arc, clattering the facing saber out wide. Jochi struck, thrusting his blade into the gap, ramming it up steep and catching the Palatine blade in his exposed armpit. He shoved the tulwar further, and Shiban brought his Guandao back round, lashing it heavily, nearly taking the enemy's helm off, gashing deep into his neck and digging out the flesh. The Palatine blade fell at last, limbs jerking, and Jochi finished him off. Then they were running again, all of them, hundreds strong, swarming through the halls and storming the corridors. The fighting was close-hemmed, as brutal as it was artful. The Emperor's children had the numbers, and this was their ship, and they fought with the vigor and arrogance of those with surety of the greater victory. But the Brotherhood had been held back for too long, condemned to a running war that always defeated them, set against numbers that were ever too large, too overwhelming, a swamp of corrupted humanity that just kept on coming. Now they were free again, drawn together, given license to do what they had been bred for.
Jagatai!
Bellowed Shiban, and his helm amplified the war cry so it made the jeweled chandeliers above shake.
Kagan!
Came the response from the Mingan Kasurga, the Brotherhood of the Storm, just as it had rung out on Ulanor and Chondax and 100 other worlds of the Legion's wide and savage ambit. They were on the cusp. The Suzerain's bridge drew closer, blocked only by the approach halls, each one crammed with retreating Emperor's children forces, mustering for a decisive clash. The attackers broke into a silver-lined chamber, dome-roofed, mirror-walled. That place was wide enough to accommodate hundreds of defenders, and so they had clustered there, ranked against the wide stone stairways and arranged around the gilded feet of the enormous columns. The Palatine blades made up the central block, formed into phalanxes, supported by teams of mortal troops bearing las weapons. Their bolters thundered in unison, pulverizing the walls behind the racing white scars and sending the door lintels crashing down. The mirrors shattered and the silver edges melted into bubbling streaks. Shiban's forces stumbled under the massed assault, breastplates burst inwards, helms blown apart, but others raced up to take the places of the fallen, vaulting to gain fire angles, skidding across the ruins and firing back. They wove through the storm of shells, riding the hits and adding their own layers to the chorus of destruction.
For the Khan!
Jochi cried, his voice cutting through the roar and rush of battle.
For Taxia!
They forced their way up towards the stairway, driving onwards in a blurred mass of ivory and red. When they closed with the ranks of Palatine blades, the boom of bolters was overlaid with a glittering clang of power blades. Yaman's warriors broke right, hacking their way up the far flank of the chamber. Jochi remained with Shiban, and together they hammered a path up the center, supported by heavy ranged fire from warriors who poured through the great doors at the rear. It was Jochi who was the fastest, outpacing even his master in fervor. He sprang up the lower stairs, barging aside a looming Emperor's Children legionary and sending him sprawling into the onrushing wave of his battle brothers. That only exposed the next in line, a champion with a lacquered violet and blue face mask wielding a charnable saber one-handed. Jochi leapt to engage him, recovering well from the initial impact and hauling his tulwar in a whistling arc. But it was over contemptuously quickly. The Prefector took one stroke to rip Jochi's blade from his grip, and a second to swipe the edge across his gorget, cutting through the cables and lacerating the throat within. Jochi crumpled to his knees, gasping through a mouthful of blood, before a final stroke sent him crashing, face down on the stair. Shiban reached him too late, lunging to prevent the final saber blow. He slammed his glaive upwards, catching the Prefector on the parry and throwing him backwards. The Palatine blade withdrew, as did those around him. White scars pursued them up the stairs, their fury honed to a white heat, surging over Jochi's body and driving the Third Legion fighters ever higher.
I know you,
hissed Shiban, his glaive blows heavier, impelled now by black rage. He was back on the bulk carrier's bridge then, fighting to hold ground before the Stormbirds came.
I have hunted you since Memnos, came the reply, giving away an almost childlike delight. What are you named, Steelhelm?
Shiban pushed on, wielding the glaive like a warhammer, blunt and fast, his vision edged with the raw crimson of battle rage.
"You wish to know my name?"
he spat, lashing out wildly, catching his enemy as he tried to match the pace.
"Tamu of the Plains!"
The blades flew, flailing trails of plasma.
"Tark Seer of the Legion!"
The speed ramped up, the impacts ramped up, the world dissolved into a haze around them.
"Shiban Khan of the Brotherhood of the Storm!"
He jabbed upwards, viciously, smashing his enemy in the chest and unleashing a blaze of disruptor release. The Prefector was thrown back up the stairs, dragging a gouge through the stone. Shiban went after him, panting like a wolf, giving no respite.
"But you need not these names, Oathbreaker,"
he rasped, bloodily, hungrily.
"For you, I am only retribution."
The Endurance swaggered into the center of the battle plane, high above the imploding portal. Its heavy flanks still sparked from the aftermath of whatever forces had been detonated in the heart of the warp well. In its wake, the Death Guard rallied, swiftly joined in support by their more febrile cousins. The twin fleets swiveled back into the attack, powering up to attack speed. The raging void, running like wildfire, was etched again with las strikes, and the behemoths of the Abyss turned their baleful weapons systems onto fresh targets. The Proudheart tacked towards the zenith, loosing volley after volley, hammering the retreating 5th Legion lines with a studied accuracy. The Death Guard retained the center ground, their warships forging a straight path and aligning lances towards the central defensive mass ahead. The Endurance was the greatest of them, the most immense, the most lethal, the most secure. Its guns had already consigned a dozen enemy vessels to destruction, and more swam into its sights with every moment. Colossal lance coils thrummed at a furious, superheated pitch. Phosphex feeders belched their boiling contents into iron-rimmed launchers. Dispersal torpedoes were hauled into dispatch tubes by a 1,000-strong army of serfs, straining in the eternal heat, the eternal humidity, the endless filth and dark and toil. From the bridge, Mortarion watched his enemies fall back, still fighting but no longer contesting void volume. The rupture beyond them circled rapidly, ringed with an aegis of silver fire. Many were trying to turn as the ordnance of the twofold fleet's arsenal scythed into them, but not all. Soaring above the yawning chasm, a lone battleship rose to defy the slaughter. This one was as vast as the Endurance, but far leaner, a thoroughbred, its jowls as spare and austere as a hunting dog. Its white prow was marked with the patina of war, but still bore the lightning strike in faded gold, and its lances glowed with the savage illumination of pre-ignition.
"My brother does not run," said Mortarion,
curling his fingers around the haft of silence.
"Yes, that is as it should be."
The Death Lord swept down from his throne, and the silent entourage came in his wake.
"Concentrate all fire on the flagship,"
Mortarion ordered, heading towards the teleporters.
"Break it open. I care not for the rest of his rabble. Deliver that one to me."
Calgaro relayed the command. Soon, every Death Guard ship broke from its attack, pulling away and turning to intercept the oncoming swordstorm. Torpedo tracks raked out, snaking from all quarters and zeroing in on the lone flagship. With no escorts to protect it, the Swordstorm took the hits, one after the other, smashing into every void shield zone and bathing the entire length of its hull in rippling explosions. Still it came on. Its guns burned, hurling rounds into the flickering void. The rate of fire was tremendous, a cycle of devastation that smashed into the gathering packs of 14th Legion hunters, cracking prows and puncturing hull spines. It was burning towards its sister vessel, eschewing all thoughts of sanctuary or preservation, the Gloriana-class monster was ploughing a fiery path straight at its tormentor. The ship mastery was impeccable. It rolled and dipped through the waves of plasma and burning promethium, shepherding its remaining strength even as the wounds came in. Shuddering wounds, dragged up from the depths of the 14th's proscribed vaults of terror weapons. It should have been halted. By rights, even that mighty starship should not have made it into the Endurance's ambit. But somehow, whether by guile, fortitude, or merely through bloody-minded determination, the Swordstorm crashed its way through the combined assault of the system murderers, the indomitable will, and the Reaper's scythe. Flank gunnery blazing, it knocked both of them back in a welter of macro cannon hits, immolating shield plates and overloading thrusters. The movement was neither mad nor suicidal. The concentration of fire on the Swordstorm had bought time for the bulk of the 5th Legion to escape to the warp rift's lip, pursued now only by Eidolon's forces. And yet, it had not been bought easily. The flagship's hull was blackened and cobwebbed with cracks. Its void shields flickered, tearing away at the edges, and its over-labored engines trailed long plumes of red-tinged smog into the vacuum. Mortarion took his place on the teleporter pads. He could still view progress through the forward viewers, watching as his enemy's fortress burned. Until that moment, the Endurance itself had not fired, but then the Primarch gave the gesture to Calgaro, and the flagship's full, devastating power was finally unleashed. Lance strikes shot out, the beams as vivid as young suns, angled at the very center of the Swordstorm's superstructure. A rain of explosive projectiles, vortex charges, corrosion clusters, iron eaters peppered the void, cracking into the target in driving waves. In their wake came more beam weapons, mass drivers, and everything that the armorers could deliver, all in a single, rolling barrage of utter destruction. The Swordstorm did not enter that arena without doling out pain of its own. It fired back, and the full complement of the flagship's arsenal remained fearsome. Its missiles speared out, shooting through the blooms of plasma and smacking into the circling hulls of its pursuers. Its las cannons flashed in a never-ending strobe pattern, draining every generator on board to maintain a thicket of adamantium-melting intensity. And yet, when the Swordstorm finally came through Endurance's assault, it was already half broken, its void shield coverage fizzing into nothingness, its atmosphere venting. Like some mortally wounded aurochs, it surged up from the mire of drifting smoke, still vast, still intact, but weakening rapidly.
Enough!
Mortarion's command was a single word, barely whispered, but the barrage stilled. The Death Guard forces loomed close on all sides, barring any escape, but their guns fell silent.
Clear the path!
The Endurance launched the coup de grace, a lone lance beam that leapt eagerly from the battleship's spinal macro barrel, searing across the gulf between the two flagships before slamming into the Swordstorm's burning bridge spire. As its void shields exploded, the devastation briefly outshone the warp rift itself. The Swordstorm shuddered, rocking on its axis, halted in its onward charge. Secondary explosions daisy-chained down the length of the gunnels, blasting out hull plating and sending fresh debris tumbling.
Fix Locus,
commanded Mortarion, his old heart's thudding hard, his grip on silence tighter, the anticipation both toxic and sweet.
And take us over.
The Death Shroud assumed their places. 12 of them, their scythes glowing with pale disruptor fields. Many more Legion warriors took position in other transporter stations, their cataphracti armor glinting dully under glaring lumens. All told, 300 would make the first passage, the best of the Legion, a fitting bodyguard for the Primarch, and more would follow on their heels. Mortarion felt the sudden heat of the teleport column cycling up to full power, then the surge of warp-rending metaphysics. The bridge before him disappeared, lost behind a blinding screen of white. The heat turned to extreme cold, the fractured, brief shriek of ether passage, and then the world of the senses came racing back. His boots crunched into solid ground, and the curtains of silver ripped away. The Primarch tensed, gripping silence two-handed and whirling around, ready for the thunder of bolters. His death shroud fanned out, their helm lenses glowing a pale green, each one of them prepared to weather the storm. Nothing came back at them. The Swordstorm's bridge was empty, its thrones deserted, its halls echoing. As the last clangs of the teleport beams died away, the silence swelled up, spilling over the banks of flickering lumens and empty tactical lenses. Mortarion moved warily, his skin taut with alertness.
"My brother!"
he called out, peering into the shadows. He reached the command throne. It, too, was empty. Severed power cables sent flares of light tripping through the dark, but no living thing rose to contest him. The Death Shroud followed, making no noise but for the low grind of their ancient armor and the tread of their iron-rimmed boots. Mortarion turned back from the throne, his fury now stoked beyond reason.
"He runs from me!"
the Primarch thundered, cracking the heel of his man-reaper into the marble and breaking it open.
"Find him. Get me after him. Time enough remains to locate his spoor."
But no teleporter beam came burning into existence to carry him away. Across the empty servitor pits, cogitator screens suddenly shook into life. All across the bridge, the Swordstorm's void shield snapped into being again, furling back across cracked armor glass real viewers like thrown gauze, preventing any external locus from being imposed. From down below, the sound of engines kicking back into life made the decks tremble, and great lumen banks blazed into brilliance once more. The Death Shroud moved instantly, forming an unbroken ring around the Primarch. The rest of the boarding squad swung their bolters in searching arcs, looking for the hidden enemy. High up in the terraces overlooking the command throne, 132 power weapons kindled, flooding the heights with a wave of neon blue. 132 storm shields slammed into place, and 132 throats opened in battle challenge.
"Kargon!"
they roared, in perfect unison. The Sagyamazan launched themselves over the edge, dropping down to the deck like falling angels. Bolterfire roared out, flying across the gulf, punching into the metal columns and smashing through stone. And then they landed, blades whirling. Mortarion strode out to meet them, detecting the telltale whine of engine overload building up below him. The bridge remained shielded, keeping him from teleporting away, and already the entire space was consumed with desperate fighting.
"Get these shields down,"
he hissed over the comm to Calgaro, drawing his lantern sidearm and opening fire.
"Unleash every level of hell, but get them down!"
Then he swept into range, his scythe pulled in terrible arcs, cutting them down, but not fast enough. Never fast enough. The Swordstorm burned from within, its reactors bulging, its lower decks already swimming with burning plasma. The great lightning sigil hanging over the command throne crashed to the deck, smashing across the polished marble. Still the savages came on, fighting to reach the Primarch, to drag him down and hold him up. The White Scars fought like the demons themselves, shrugging off wounds that ought to have felled them, laughing with feral abandon as they surged up against the implacable Death Shroud. At their head was a lone Khan, wielding a Terran longblade two-handed. With him came the others, whooping the war cries of their bestial homeworld. They were hopelessly overmatched, but their charge never faltered. The Death Shroud sliced them apart, their scythes throwing blood across the deck, but they refused to fall back. Mortarion himself came among the desperate attackers, sweeping three aside in a single blow and hurling their mangled corpses back into the pits. He blasted the chest of a fourth open, then strode towards the leader, the one who held them together. As he approached, the White Scars legionary dispatched his opponent and swung around to face the Primarch.
"Hail, Lord of Death!"
he cried, sounding almost ecstatic, angling his longsword to strike.
"Torghun Khan greets you!"
"Why do this?"
asked Mortarion, holding silence back just for a moment.
"Why waste yourselves?"
But it was not waste, and he knew that. Every passing second brought the flagship's doom closer. Every passing second gave time for the rest of the fleet to slip away. The ire of the 14th had been concentrated on this point to the exclusion of all others, and even now the lancers were firing again, striking the shields that trapped their master on the rapidly decaying Void Hulk.
"Why, my lord?" the Khan laughed, poised for the coming strike. "Atonement! At last!"
Mortarion readied his scythe.
"No such thing exists."
The Khan watched the swordstorm die from the bridge of the Lance of Heaven. Every wound the flagship took was like a strike to his own body. The great hull was reeling again now, rocked by the flurry of beam weapons aimed at the command bridge. They would break the last of the shields soon, retrieve their troops, resume the attack. The Sagyar Mazan would not last more than moments against his brother's dread entourage. Shame gnawed at him. Once again, his sons had died in his place. Once again, the battle had been interrupted before the end. And this time, it was him racing away from the epicenter, his fleet in retreat, the vengeful guns of the enemy trained on their overburning thrusters.
"Your destiny is on Terra."
They had all told him that. Yashugai, Ilya, the sorcerer, the Storm Seer's dreams surely had been of the final battle on the fields before the palace walls. And it would be there, if anywhere, that the culmination would come. But the cost, the cost! To race into battle, knowing that honorable death was the only result, that was easy. Any berserker could do it. To leave, though, to run, to dare the passage of the unknown and let the taunt of Kraven ring in his ears, that nearly ripped his heart in two. Around him, the bridge of the new fleet flagship boiled with furious activity. All the legionaries and crew who could have been extracted had been, either by Stormbird or teleporter beam. The Stormseers were out, as were the Keshik and Jubal's command group. All the gunships had launched before the Swordstorm's final attack run, taking with them every weapon their holds could carry. Jubal was busy now, a furnace of energy, realigning the Lance of Heaven's defensive grids and bellowing commands to pull the fleet back further. The Stormseers were immersed in their rites again, summoning up their elemental forces for the journey ahead. Arvida had taken the principal place among them, and none had gainsaid him, for with Yashugai gone, there was none more powerful among their number, whether or not he was a true member of the Ordu. The warriors of the Keshig took up guard places all across the bridge, and legionaries from the Swordstorm had been dispersed across every surviving capital ship of the fleet, bolstering the defences against madness and warp fatigue. Ilya limped up to him, her arms folded around her body as if in protection. Her eyes were rimmed red.
"You had to do it," she said.
The words were no comfort, as much because they were true as anything else. Out in the void, the battle raged as fiercely as ever. The bulk of the Death Guard fleet had been distracted by the Sword Storm's sacrifice, but the Emperor's children had not been deflected and stayed in tight pursuit.
"The rift!" cried Tarban. "The horizon clears!"
Its edge swept towards them, a river of fire that bucked like massed horseheads on the charge. Space flexed and stretched, putting further stress on already damaged hull structures, and vast arcs of ether lightning licked up against the raging thrusters.
For the first time, they could see over the shrinking lip of the rupture. Immense walls of raging static raced around and around, dizzying in both scale and speed. On the far side was a haze of gold and sapphire, a boiling mass like superheated promethium. In that terrible morass swam half-visible images of torture and insanity, breaking the surface for moments before sinking again in an endless ferment.
"Warp shutters!" ordered Jubal. "Lock down for ether translation!"
Every White Scar ship was hurtling now, running ahead of the guns of the Third Legion. Geller fields flickered into solidity, warp drives cranking into life, plasma drives still piling momentum onto the fleeing starships. The real viewports locked closed.
"What is to stop them following us in?" murmured Taban,
studying the fleet tactical readouts.
The first of the big 5th Legion war vessels was already plummeting down the chasm, half in real space and half in the warp.
"The rift is closing,"
said Jubal, indicating auger sweeps showing the neck of the rupture collapsing in on itself.
"Not quickly enough," said Jagatai.
Like Taban, he was looking hard at the tactical scanners. The vanguard of Emperor's Children attack craft at least would make the horizon before it finally fell into ruin. Jubal nodded.
"They are not enough to prevent us," he said cautiously.
The Khan narrowed his eyes, watching rune patterns creep across the glass. The malign nausea of the warp grew stronger, calcifying in the air around them. It felt as if every surface swam with static electricity, and it would only get worse once they were inside the rupture. The enemy ships flew strangely, erratically, risking foundering just to remain in contact.
"But what drives them now?" he asked. "What do they carry?"
The Ravisher veered hard to zenith, its thrusters wildly overfiring, its engineering overflowing and spilling raw coolant into the bilge decks. It no longer fired weapons, for its gunnery crews were all dead, torn apart on the flail hooks of the ship's new masters, their souls sucked from their chests and consumed in an orgy of side gluttony. Every deck swam with blood. It gurgled down fuel tubes and vaporized through the atmospheric cyclers. The lumens had all blown or were oscillating wildly, making the deck sway between pure darkness and blinding over-illumination. The children of Von Calder's half-understood magics looped through the corridors and the transit shafts, hunting for more to kill. They had grown, all of them, swelling obscenely fast. The smallest of them towered far above the measure of a legionary, crowned with slung back spikes and flailing long, poison-barbed tails. They went lasciviously, alluringly, slinking and sliding through the wheeling lights, their whiteless eyes flashing like pearls. Manusha Rakshasi squatted amid the ruins of the bridge, relishing the vibrations of the tortured ship. A long slick of gore ran down its chin, fresh from where it had gorged on the last legionary to resist. It had grown far greater than the others. The blood, the warp, the deaths, all of it magnified and redounded upon its true nature. The persona it had enjoyed in the realm of dreams, unfolded and stretched and become true flesh. So many names it had employed over so many long centuries of consciousness. It had been there in the very beginning, created amid the beautiful decay of the first Star Empire, rising to sentience as those city worlds of abundance were consumed by the tumults of a god's birth. It had stalked across the riven planetscapes, dissolving them into pure sensation, drinking the spirits of the world makers as they howled and wept. Manusha Rakshasi had taken the spellcasters of those worlds, the warlocks and the seers, and ground its teeth on their living souls, drinking in the essence of their power and of their knowledge. The demon had grown strong then, just as its counterpart fragments of the Dark Prince had grown strong, as young as the blue stars in the abyss and as lethal as the greatest servants of older powers. Thus, Manusha Rakshasi was still young, as the galaxy reckoned age, and that made it vital and cruel, and in rapture with all it surveyed. It stretched out, and its lissome flesh glistened in the flickering lumen beams.
I am indeed beautiful,
Manusha Rakshasi said, and its choirs of lesser intelligences chimed their agreement. It rose up, unfurling its full majesty. A keeper of secrets, they called such creatures on mortal worlds. And there were many secrets to keep. The last gasped memories of the elder species, laced with the brutal hidden desires of the younger, all destined for dissipation into the deeps of the Empyrean, locked in a stasis of exquisite agony for all ages. Manusha Rakshasi gazed out across the void, seeing through the blackening shell of the mortal vehicle as if it were translucent crystal. The world of the senses was thinning, melding into a mix of matter and mind. That made it stronger still, anchoring its wayward selfhood into the weave of temporal forces, bolstering muscles and steeling sinews. Soon, they would not need the void barges of the mortals at all. In moments, they would be free to break out, to glide through the seething tempest as they did in the crucible of their birth states. Manusha Rakshasi surveyed the carnage, scattered widely over the turning gyre of the warp bridge. It saw the starships like clots of blood in a vein, each one rich and glutinous and ripe for intoxication. One of them swelled more violently than any other, a great battleship filled with the singing souls of the ether weavers, clustered around their prince, whose soul burned like the circles of pleasure themselves.
That one,
Manusha Rakshasi intoned, sending the psychic command to its new birth legion, bidding them take flight.
We take that one.